In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We got back yesterday, mid to late afternoon, from a week over at our summer camp at the St. Nicholas Ranch in Dunlop, California. And first of all, I'm very, very proud to say that approximately one-tenth of the campers were from Holy Trinity during this third week of this third session. And how well all of our campers did, which is, I hope, not a surprise to anyone. But it is also worth commenting on what an outstanding program we offer here in the central part of the metropolis here at the St. Nicholas Camp. There are many camping programs just in our own metropolis, lots of camping programs around the country and around the world. And I can't imagine that there's a better summer camp than the one that is organized and presented and offered every summer at St. Nicholas. It has not only an excellent schedule that allows for rest and activities, the religious education component is top-notch, the counselors are highly involved with the campers who are there, so that they're not just babysitters, but they spend a lot of time in dialogue with them. I could go on and on, but it's an exceptional program. And I would share with you also that I went to work, which I did obviously, but I'm really glad that I went. I needed that week of work. Not that I don't get enough work here, but it was just a wonderful change of pace for me, and it had a lot to do with the ambiance of the camp, the whole atmosphere that has been created and continues to be developed by the grace of God. And that is the direct result of the campers, the counselors, the staff, the clergy who attend there. So I thank God for that. And during the course of one of the days, I had an occasion to speak with one of the counselors. And he was saying how... can you hear me back okay? One person has his hand up. Can you hear me? Okay, good. The choir is very... Is your speaker on? All right. I'm sorry. I will try to speak up. Thank you. Anyway, I had a conversation with one of the counselors, and he was saying that together the other counselors had been saying, how do you keep that camp rhythm going, that spirit of camp, that feeling, that the wonderful glow, if you will. How do you keep the fire from extinguishing once you leave summer camp? And I gave him an answer, but then thought about it a little bit more, and the next day I actually made some remarks during the morning service, during the morning orthros, about this subject. And what I offered was this: to keep the glow of camp going, just think about the most basic elements that sets camp apart. Now, one might think it is the learning and the worship and the confession that sets camp apart, but I don't think it does. I think if there's any Orthodox Christian that has to go away to worship and to go to confession, I think we've got a problem. I think those should be defining elements for everybody. And that's why we are a camp, and then we can sometimes lose our fervor because we keep doing all the things that we're supposed to do. We go to church, and we fast, and we live the life of the church in general. Instead, I think this is what makes camp extra special for everybody who's there. Number one is we eliminate the overwhelming majority of distractions in people's lives. And we do that with campers by taking away their cell phones. And by the way, no child lost his or her life over the course of the week by not having a cell phone. But just in general, all of us become a little bit more disconnected from the distractions that life offers us. And distractions are different from responsibilities. Responsibilities are responsibilities. If your car has a flat tire, you have to get the tire changed. That's not a distraction necessarily, that's just something that we have to do. But we all know what the distractions are. It's the needless time when we have the TV on in the background with just noise coming out of it. Or the things in the national and international news that we worry about, that we should simply just pray about and stop reading about because there's really nothing that we can do. You know, those distractions that rattle around in our brain and make it very, very difficult to center ourselves, to center ourselves spiritually. And at camp, distractions are done away with. And I thank God for that. Another thing that happens at camp is we get to spend 100% of our time around people who value the same things we do when it comes to faith and morality, to living out our Christianity. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to... What did you guys do up there now? I got you. I got you. Okay. Oh, that's okay. It's all good. I hear a little bit of an echo. It's kind of like standing in that room that will be the top floor of the elevator one day. Well, anyway, at camp we get to spend time with like-minded people with regard to faith. In other words, we're around other Christians who reinforce our Christian identity. That, by the way, answers the question, why do I need to come to church every week? So that you can be around people like yourself to remind you how you're supposed to live. As I have mentioned in sermons before and mentioned in confession to some of you and will mention again and again, you can't be a Christian in isolation. You have to be a Christian around other Christians. That's how we keep pumping one another up and encouraging each other. That's how we really begin to form our identity. My identity can't simply be formed sitting alone by myself. My identity is formed by all of my relationships, including and especially my relationship with you all. So when you're around other Christians, it makes you better. It just does. It makes you better. And for those who are still in the workforce and out in just the regular job setting, you know how important that is. Because we know how it is that people talk and how they act. And it's not simply a matter of them being indifferent to God. It's even behaving in a way that is antithetical to the way we ourselves are called to live. So yes, being around other Christians, along with eliminating distractions, is really something that is rejuvenating, spiritually re-energizing. And then the third thing that really dawned on me at camp is that we not only make time to pray, but we make time to be quiet, to be still. In fact, be still was the theme of this summer's camp. And so, but every day, more than really once a day, but every day, at least once a day, right after the morning worship, right before breakfast, there's time when everyone is compelled to sit quietly. And I don't know about you, but I wish I had somebody in my life to compel me just to sit quietly for a while. But that's so important, being still, being with God, just being quiet. That is why our daily prayers are so important, and I've had people over the years tell me, I just don't have time to pray in the morning. And my response continues to be, do you have time to get up and walk over to your icon, cross yourself and slowly say the Lord's Prayer, stand there and gather your thoughts for the day? It would take you about a minute to do that. Do you have time for that? The answer is yes. Well then, yes. We have the time to begin to be still. But the more still that you and I can be, the more it starts to change us because God can well up inside of us and really begin to work throughout all of our members, throughout our brain, throughout our heart, in every possible way. For my own part, I've tried lately to eliminate my afternoon coffee break and instead just go and sit quietly and say the Jesus Prayer 100 times. That's a good thing to do midday. And again, it gives us one more chance to be still. Now, you know, a priest offers a sermon like this, they're nice ideas, but you say, come on, Father, where's that in the Bible? That's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate question because, you know, we can stand up here, we priests, and say just about anything, and you could say, oh yeah, well, says who? Well, providentially, this morning's gospel reading involved what following factors? It involved everybody being away, these 5,000 people and the apostles and Jesus. They were kind of away from the hustle and bustle, weren't they? Their distractions were eliminated. And then you had like-minded people together, not only Jesus and his disciples, but the people who were seeking Jesus and wanting to hear him, which I hope describes everyone who's here today as someone who is seeking Jesus and wants to hear him. And then when all was said and done, after everyone had been fed, what happened? Jesus sent the apostles off to go be still for a while. He sent, put them in a boat and sent them away so they could be still. So the whole business of eliminating distractions, being around people who share your faith and your thirst for Christ, the whole business of being still, it's really very biblical. We begin Tuesday, a 15-day fast period, a two-week fast period. And for those of us that did not have the privilege of going to summer camp, maybe we can piggyback on some of that summer camp experience. And so my challenge is, as we begin the so-called 15 days of August, my challenge for each one of us is that we go down the list and inventory all of those things that are really useless distractions and try to minimize them, try to eliminate them. You'll find if you eliminate them for 2 weeks, you really don't want to go back to them anyway. And then come here to worship. Come here to be around people who believe as you do. It will reinforce your identity, your Orthodox Christian identity. And yes, over that two-week period, perhaps we can even find some time, or extra time as the case might be, to be still, to be quiet, to be with God. That's the very simple message this morning, dear brothers and sisters. Eliminate distractions. Seek out other Christians and be in fellowship with them. And be still. It worked when Jesus fed the multitudes in this morning's gospel. It certainly works at summer camp. And my suspicion is it'll do a lot of good for all of us.